following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, this time coming up from the much ballyhooed and vaunted Studio C.
This is kind of fun.
It is. We've never done one in here.
No.
I did one here a long time ago, right before we moved in.
Right.
I actually laid in the middle of this floor before we actually got the equipment in, and I recorded something on the mini recorder.
Oh, yeah?
That was about 3 years ago.
Hmm.
It's Diner Fryer, ladies and gentlemen, sitting over here to my left.
Yes.
We're actually sitting at the table where The Existence of Strange Things is taped.
Yes.
And we're getting ready to tape a show with them in a little while. But I thought while we're here, let's get something done and let's get the From Radioland thing going.
We've got a lot of things, production in one studio, stuff going on in another. So here we are in Studio C.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's been a hoot.
It's been fun.
I'm looking at a stack of chairs in here because we had the Radio Memphis Underground taping.
That was the very first one that we had. Yes. And that's actually something that was a really, really cool thing that Kate Lucas, your co-host in the mornings, Radio Memphis in the mornings, had come up with. And, you know, and it's fun, you know, only because that it was an opportunity for a very, very small select audience to come down into this actual studio for live performances. And it's actually comedians, acoustic performances, and, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, the first one wasn't acoustic,
though. I know. It was I'm putting this out there because that's what it was supposed to be. But then, of course, as in Radio Memphis style, a punk band shows up.
Oh yes. Yes. It was big. It was actually quite fun. I was in Studio B monitoring the thing and running the PA and then recording it and listening to it. And it was actually kind of cool. It really was. It worked out quite nice. And then you had some comedians that showed up and they told some jokes and they got a little bit ribald.
Well,
a little randy, if you will.
Did they?
Yeah, as they do. Memphis comedians are a different breed. This is alt comedy here.
Oh, okay.
And much like, say, like the rap scene, which is very aggressive.
Right.
So's the comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. This isn't going to be like some guy coming up and telling some one-line jokes. These are elaborate stories that are based in somewhat of the absurd that tell very real stories.
Right.
And they use grown-up language. They use the dirty words, which is okay. I mean, I get it. It's all part of the art. And, you know, and for those that aren't a big fan of that thing, they can go somewhere else. But, and I mean that because, you know, you have to be aware of that. I mean, this show, for example, has an explicit tag on it because every once in a while I might say a dirty word.
You might.
I might.
Mm-hmm.
Or as it has been in the past with you and I doing these shows, you tend to get pissy with me about something.
I'm holding my ground.
I am too. I have.
I'm holding my ground.
So far, you know, we're a couple of minutes in. I haven't done anything. I'm not going to.
And you're not going to.
Yeah. I'm going to push those buttons, I guess. The beautiful thing about this particular room that we're in is it's actually kind of special to us because we have worked so hard to make the whole facility what it is.
Yes.
And this is a creative space.
It is.
Really, by and large, it's designed for music, but, you know, all sorts of things are happening in here.
Absolutely.
Like The Existence of Strange Things, like the Memphis Underground and all the other fun stuff. But when you talk about bringing music down here, that's really the key.
Mm.
Our engineer Ryan Royals,
yep,
who is an absolutely tremendous engineer.
Best ears. Some of the best ears.
He is really, really good. And watching him work is just a joy, you know. And working with him, I've heard nothing but good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because people like they're afraid that an engineer might say, well, what do you think? I don't know. I think you should redo this, redo that.
Right.
And Ryan's like, no, this is your project. You know, if you're happy with it, I'm happy with it. If you want to do it again, let's do it again.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
He brings out the best and, you know, and he brings out the naturalness out of a group or an artist. And his job is to capture, you know, your sound. You know, hence the hashtag for, you know, Radio Memphis Pirate Radio Recording Studios, catch your sound.
Yes. Yeah, catch your sound. Mm-hmm. And we're getting into, we're not too terribly far away from fall, believe it or not, even though we're in the middle of the summer, but we have to plan ahead because a lot of artists come off the road.
Yep.
There's the occasional fall festival or the fair. A lot of bands are out there busy playing the fair scene. And then when the weather starts getting a little cooler, they're ready to, you know, bring their new stuff into a studio and start laying it down. And that's why we're here.
That's exactly why we're here. And of course, you know, for fall, for us, I mean, we've got a lot of things coming down the pike and we're doing a lot of, crazy cool stuff. And I mean, could you imagine if we were trying to do all this out of the back of the house?
Oh, it's impossible.
We wouldn't have been able to do it.
No, there's no physical way that could have happened. In fact, looking at it now, even in our current situation, we often wonder, how are we going to pull this off? But we do.
And we do.
It's not easy. Mm-mm. But it's what's the old saying about taking joy into your work? We get that. There's a lot of great joy in our work here. I'm very happy about the work that we do. There's some smaller aspects of it. It's like any other job. There's small aspects of it that it's like, oh, really? I got to put up with this shit now.
not you.
No. Yes. No, not me at all. And it's like, oh, this asshole just walked in the door. And, you know, see, you just deal with it and you move along. And it's okay. It really is. And I have to keep reminding myself that it is, you know, that it's fine. Because the end result is really the bottom line.
It is.
If the end result is that a group of musicians or a single musician comes in and he or her is wanting to lay down their artwork.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand is that being an artist, whether it's like what we're doing now, which is an art, or whether you're a speaker on the air, or whether you're a musician or a sculptor or a painter, any type of art, or a writer, a poet, you have to reinvent yourself every time you create something new.
You do.
And when you do that, you are laying yourself bare, if you will, in front of, I don't mean to sound heavy, but that's really what happens. And you have to give those people that respect.
Sure you do.
And that's why this room is doing what it's doing. And along the way, you know, especially with the newer ones, the new kids that come in, they don't really quite know what to do or how to do it.
Right.
And we talk about things like, get your shit copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to do.
Right.
You can do it online. It doesn't cost a whole heck of a lot. It's like 30, 40 bucks.
Something like that.
And I've learned, because I'm not that bright, I have learned things like what a copyright is.
Well, sure.
You know, what we do, like this show is automatically copyrighted by its virtue of being published. You don't have to take every episode and get a copyright for it.
Correct.
The fact that it goes out there.
Correct.
Under our name and under the umbrella of Radio Memphis or Pirate Radio Studios becomes a copyrighted thing. Not that anybody would steal the shit, but you never know.
Right.
We've been victims of thievery before.
We have. But, you know, I mean, one of the smartest things, you know, when you are creating something and, you know, you look at it as a brand. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You know, first and foremost. And, you know, and every brand, you know, has, you know, some type of, you know, things that you're going to want to make sure are taken care of. And part of that is, you know, is protecting that brand because it belongs to you. You know, and one of the things, I mean, for instance, you know, like our logo,
the old Roger, the skull wearing the headphones in all of its glory. First of all, created by Brian McMurray.
Brian McMurray is the father of Roger.
He and I actually did a podcast long, long time ago.
It's been a minute.
I need to bring it back in.
Yeah.
Because he's such a... Well, damn it, he's an artist.
He is.
And when you speak to him on those levels, there's all sorts of weird doors that open up in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the creativity process and how it comes about. It's alarming.
It is.
It really is. And the idea behind Roger and the story that came up behind him, because we thought, well, you know, it's a pirate radio thing. And it's kind of what we want. And
right.
He took that simple vision and created that.
Mm-hmm.
So... 6 years ago now, in 2011, I started the process of what I had learned at that time was that under guidance, you had to trademark that.
Yes.
Now, trademark is a whole different thing.
That was hell.
That was 18 months of pure hell.
You don't realize, I didn't realize how much paperwork was going to come. It's retarded.
It's staggering.
It's retarded.
And when you go through if you do it on your own, which I did, and I don't recommend.
No.
Hire an attorney so you don't so you don't get caught up in it like I did. Because mm-hmm. I've got some legal training. Mm-hmm. I thought, I can handle this. This is not that big a deal. And once I began down that road, I thought, okay, this is going to be okay. And then it began more and more things. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady I was dealing with up in Washington, D.C., which is where the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office is. It's uspto.gov if you want to learn more.
Right.
And this lady told me she became my attorney for our trademark work.
Right.
She was just assigned to us, and that's what happens. You go through that process, they assign you this attorney. Now, her job is to make sure that your shit's right,
mm-hmm.
that it makes sense and that it's doable.
Sure.
And then once everything is set up, then she takes it to this little court that occurs within the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Right.
To get it finalized, and then a judge goes, okay, cool, everything's good, and then they issue you your trademark, which is a number, a registration number, all the paperwork that goes with it. I have a file that is like literally like 4 inches thick.
Oh, I believe it.
And it's impressive the amount of work. And I kept getting phone calls from her, and she goes, hey Rick, it's me again. I don't mean to bother you, but I got to, you know, I got questions about it. I'm like, oh my God, how complicated can Radio Memphis be trademarked?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very weird road that you go down.
Yes.
But it's worth it. Mm-hmm. The trademark lasts 73 years.
Really?
Yeah, it lasts 73 years.
Where did they come up with that number?
Because the average human being lives about 72.
Oh.
Okay, now I can assign the trademark. I can pass it on. I can sell it. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, that trademark is about to expire, it can be reapplied for, which is nothing to it. It's just a matter of filling out one form, and it's like, boom, it's done. Right. And then the trademark continues on.
Right.
Disney's a prime example. Mickey Mouse is a trademark of Disney. Disney is a trademark of itself.
Right.
And there are certain things you can trademark and certain things you cannot trademark. And that's where the waters get really weird. And it requires somebody from the USPTO to help you understand that. People, and I'm guilty of this, people like myself initially thought that copyright and trademark were one and the same.
Mm-mm.
And they are not.
They're not.
A copyright is a body of work. If you and I wrote a script for a movie.
Right.
We can trademark or we can copyright that. Well, right. We can't trademark it. We can copyright it.
Sure, we can.
And it becomes protected.
Sure.
If we made a television show, we can copyright that television show. If we wrote a song, we can copyright that song. It's a right. body of work.
Right.
A trademark deals with the things that Pirate Radio Studios has or Radio Memphis.
Right.
So our logo is what becomes, it's what they call a user mark.
Mm.
Which means that you are using this logo in conjunction of what it is that you do.
Sure.
So the skull wearing the headphones with the words Radio Memphis becomes a trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, there's a lot of weird water that exists just in that. There are, this is no joke, there are at least 70 pages describing the skull.
Really?
Yeah. It's human in nature. Its teeth are not human. Because they're a waveform, if you look at it very carefully.
That was very specifically, you know, by our artist.
By Brian, did it right.
And in fact, you know, not only are they some waveforms, but it also, what he did was that he actually took one of the recordings of was it You On Air talking?
Somebody.
Saying
Radio
Memphis.
And it's a wave, so you could play it back.
And so the wave that the actual teeth makes is the audio form of the words Radio Memphis.
He claims it doesn't, but I have said out of my own curiosity, I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the waveform and I took a snapshot of it and I held it up to the logo and looked at it and it almost lines up.
Yeah.
He claims it's like Hungarian goat porn. I don't know what
it is. He does not.
He makes these really weird claims about waveform is.
He doesn't want anybody to know his secrets.
But the skull exists. Now, you can't trademark a skull.
No.
Because everybody's got one.
Right.
Except for certain bass players and drummers. then there are the fact that the skull is wearing headphones.
Yes.
Okay, now you have to look at the headphone thing. Now, what are they? And there's like another 100 pages describing what the headphones do.
Mm-hmm.
And why is the skull wearing the headphones?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they connected to? And what style of headphone are they? They're over ear, they're on ear, they're in ear. I mean, it's that specific. Then the stuff behind it. That's all a part of it. And the words radio and Memphis
right.
occur into the trademark. Now, here's where it's really weird. You can't, this is odd, you can't trademark the word radio mm-hmm. because it's a ubiquitous thing. It's everywhere.
Right.
You can't trademark Memphis because it's here.
Right.
And it's in Egypt.
Of course.
You take Radio Memphis and put them together, you still really can't, and there's no real exclusive use of that per se. However, you have to tie it all back to the
use.
It's use, but the reason why the thing exists in general. Mm-hmm. So you look at the whole thing, which is the skull, the headphones, the words radio on top, Memphis at the bottom, our logo. That becomes its self-contained unit. And what it means is that even though we have nobody has any exclusive right to the words radio in Memphis, what it does say is that because we are broadcasting through the internet music and content mm-hmm. designed to entertain mm-hmm. that it's tied to that picture and that mm-hmm. logo mm-hmm. therefore it becomes a user mark and a trademark at the same time.
Yep.
So the waters, they say, well, I can't trademark radio in Memphis. Well, yeah, you can, but you have to show it in use.
Yes.
So our attorney back in Washington kept going, can you send us this thing in actual usage?
Well, sure.
So we had been on the air for, I think at that point, probably about 4 or 5 months. And we sent T-shirt designs. Mm-hmm. In fact, I told her, I said, would you like a T-shirt? I'd be more than happy to send you one. And she was very sweet. She goes, well, no, I've got a lot of those. Just send me pictures, so which we did. And we had to show it in use online, which we had. And then that judge went, okay, now we will trademark Radio Memphis mm-hmm. because of what it is that we do.
Right.
And that's how that came about. And it's a long way around the barn to say that it's like with Starbucks. Starbucks uses a mermaid.
Yes. And that's been a thing.
It is a thing. Mm. Mermaids you can't trademark. But the Starbucks mermaid you can. Mm-hmm. The word Starbucks you cannot trademark. But by God, if I used it, I'd be in trademark violation.
Yes.
Because it's been in use to do something very specific. So if I made Starbucks coffee, not coffee, but let's say, it'd be something like, even if you twisted it just a hair like Barfucks. Okay. All right.
Really?
I said, yeah, well, that's the only thing I can think of because it rhymes.
What the
hell?
Right,
so you do something like that. Well, they would sue me.
Well, they should.
Well, it's a meat market singles bar that happens to serve some coffee.
They should,
and they would come after me. So yeah, that's why that exists, and it was a pain in the butt to go through. But by God, I'm glad it did.
Yeah, I'm glad we did too.
Lord have mercy. It was because once comes a point where you go through it, you go, oh man, did I bite off more than I can chew? But you realize though that the end result is going to be this piece of paper. Now here's what's really fun. This is the really fun part. The process is over.
Yeah.
You get the envelope, and it's a big envelope you get in the mail. And it's a kind of a big deal. And you open it up, and there it is, you know. And it's got your registration number on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a thing. And then you start getting letters from Budapest in Hungary.
Okay.
That's the headquarters of the International Trademark Group.
Ah.
And they send a letter, but it's actually a bill. And the bill is for $8,000, $9,000, sometimes $10,000. And they want you to pay it immediately. And I've researched this, and this is a legitimate thing.
Wow.
If I paid that, then I would now have Radio Memphis internationally trademarked.
Right.
Because nothing stops anybody in, say, Italy or Hungary or Germany or wherever to have Radio Memphis.
Right.
I don't give a shit, but if that's what they want to do, they can do it. There's a band in Florence, a cover band in Florence, Italy called Radio Memphis.
There is,
and I love them. And I'm not going to get involved with that. I'm not going to get involved in the international trademark thing. There's no point because the business that we operate in is primarily here in the United States.
Well, I mean, even though that we do deal with the world.
Sure, but most people outside this country are pretty reasonable about this sort of thing.
They are. They are, you know, and it just kind of goes back to, you know, when you're thinking about what it is that you're trying to put together. You know, and this is very common stance when bands are trying to come up with their name, you know, for their band, you know, and everybody gets so they fall in love with some crazy word, and you'll swear, you'll think nobody on the planet has this. You know, and as soon as they get out there, you know, they start getting t-shirts, they start getting artwork done, they start getting, you know, CD covers made, and they start getting, you know, things, you know, out in print and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start really kind of doing something. And then it's like, skirt! Did you know that there are, you know, X people? And you know,
sure, and they're calling you up going, hey, man.
And some of them have gone as far as, you know, trademark, you know, logos and copyrighted, you know, information. Yeah. And they come back around and it's like, you can't do this and you can't exist in that manner.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't take the time. And it's so much easier now, you know, having the internet, you know, having Google and having everything else to really, 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 really get in and research a choice to determine that if it's going to, you know, pose to be an issue later on. Well, you know, and there's a two-edged sword to that, because some people were like, oh, I don't care, man. I just love it because I love the name. Or on the flip side, they're going to take that time. They're going to continue to research and continue to research and continue to research. What this tells me is that the individual that started that entire process has every intention of seeing it all the way through to the end, and actually, they're going to do something with that. Somebody who's just like, oh, I don't care. You're just a weekend warrior.
Right. And if you go through the effort of going to USPTO, getting your trademark, filing the copyrights on your stuff.
Right.
Then, yeah, you're serious.
You are serious.
But make sure your shit's together.
Right. You know? It's a lot.
I was involved in a band years and years ago called Cleveland Steamer.
Really?
Yeah.
Whose idea was that?
Wasn't mine.
All right.
But I thought it was kind of clever.
Of course.
And this is pre-internet. And I was a bass player in this thing. We were the shits, and then we turned into Cleveland Steamer.
Why does this not surprise me?
Because we were trying to be something a little more sophisticated than just
Oh,
the
that's
shits.
Real sophisticated.
I know, right? Because we figured that nobody would really know what it was.
Of course.
Well, as it turns out, there's a jazz outfit in Ontario, Canada called Cleveland Steamer.
See?
And we got a letter from a Canadian attorney that was known as a cease and desist, which means you can't sell anything with that name on it. You can't do anything if it's related to music, which is precisely what it was.
Of course.
Even though we play two different styles of music, the judge don't give a shit. It's, you got to be right by that.
You got to be right about it. Absolutely.
It killed the band. It really did.
I can't even look at you.
Because
right.
you can't trademark Cleveland, obviously, because it's a city in Ohio. You can't trademark Steamer because it could be a boat, it could be a trunk, it could be anything. Cleveland Steamer in conjunction in use as a thing that plays music got us in trouble, and that's exactly how that worked out.
See,
with that knowledge came the Radio Memphis trademark. So it wasn't a pile. It wasn't a turd. It was a thing.
So, my God.
It was a learning lesson.
You never told me that that was one of the reasons why. Really?
Yeah, that's how it came about. It was because it was a lesson.
I'm so glad you never told me that.
Well, it was a lesson of protecting ourselves. Look, we have at Radio Memphis have gone through a lot.
We have.
In 6 years. We really have gone
through a lot. Why do we always come to this when you and I sit down and do this?
Because it's nice to revisit the past and I don't know, wallow in our own misery. But,
apparently.
You know, ideas come. You cannot copyright or trademark an idea.
No.
You can't protect that stuff. Now, in the 6 years that Radio Memphis has been on the air, some really cool things have happened. And we've seen a lot of success with these things. But at the same time, there are those out there that have decided, oh, we're going to do that too. And then they go and they do it, and then they F it all up, and you just scratch your head and go, you're an idiot.
Well, I mean, whatever.
You have to let people do what people do to a certain extent. Now, if somebody were to create a Radio Memphis out there that was a direct competitor to us,
right.
Don't think for a second that our legal department will be on them like a duck on a June bug.
That's it.
You know, because of the 6 years that we have put into this thing.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Of course it does.
And anybody, whether you're a musician, an artist, a business of any type, you got to protect your shit.
All of it. Every last
especially
bit
if you're good at it.
And if you're very good at it, you know.
Which we are.
We rock.
They're a bunch of bastards.
No, it is what it is. But taking that into consideration, you know, just being in this industry, you know, being in this business, you know.
It's showbiz.
It is.
Filled with snakes.
It is.
Hunter Thompson, I'm gonna have to paraphrase. I don't know it by heart, but he refers to the television news industry as being a long hallway filled with snakes and beasts and animals of every type that are out to get you at every door along that hallway.
Hmm.
And that hallway is slippery because it's filled with the blood of your victors, and it's a mess. And all the way down this hallway is the complete total fight. And at the end of the hallway is the end of your career. That's kind of what the gist is of it. And it's a rather visceral thing to think about.
Okay, that's a nice picture. Thanks.
Well, look up. Go to the search engine, the Google, and type in Hunter S. Thompson Long Dark Hallway, and you'll see the whole thing.
Right.
And people have attributed it to the radio business, television, music. Engineering, aviation, whatever you want to think of.
Well, sure.
They've always attributed it the same way. And it's not that far off. I mean, because it's tough. If you're striking out on your own, there's always going to be that level of difficulty you never dream you're going to encounter.
I know. And the deeper you get into it, you know, the little successes that you get across the board, you know, understand that there's going to be more for you to try to conquer and for more to you to accomplish. And, you know, to the point where, you know, you wind up, you know, staying up all night and you wind up, you know, working at all hours, and you wind up having, you know, conference calls and staff meetings, you know, with the two people in charge at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's when we can talk. And you have, you know, really weird, screwy dreams of stuff, you know, that I can't get over it, man.
I know.
You wake up in cold sweats, and you know, after you know, dreaming that, you know, somebody is trying to steal your bag, steal your family, steal all of your gumption and everything else, and then and convince everybody that, you know, you're the evil person. And, you know, okay, I was talking a little bit out of experience. I'm good.
You all right? You need a therapist? You okay?
It was really, dude. It was intense.
I know. I've been there. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was real.
Yeah.
It was real, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you wake up and you go, okay, I'm going in the right direction. And it's like, hell.
Apparently so. You always have to run toward the really dark, evil shit before you realize that you're doing the right thing. Because you got to face those demons head.
It was pretty dark and it was pretty evil.
Oh, well, sure. But those are all those are the demons that you have to, that everybody has to slay their dragons, you know, whatever they are.
Okay, well, I'm looking for the Dragon Lord.
And as you, well, that's you. And if you're looking around the room and you don't see him, it's you.
Right.
You know, you have to prepare yourself for that sort of thing. And it goes back to being an artist, because you feel so vulnerable when you do it.
Yeah.
And there is a vulnerability there, and it's emotional, and it's hard. I mean, God knows, I've gone through my breakdowns over this whole thing, and it's you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's out there that's listening to this is sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to do this too. First of all, probably not. Second of all, don't be a hack. And thirdly, just don't. Just go.
I think one of the things that saves you and I is that we try to schedule our breakdowns separate from each other.
Oh, you have to. Well, it's not that we schedule it. It just.
That's what it is.
It's more of like a shot going, hey, look, I'm not doing so well. I'm thinking I may be falling, and just give me a minute. And it's like, okay, I got this for a minute. It's okay. All right, are you better
done?
Now?
Are you done?
Are you done now?
Are you done?
All right, now I'm gonna go shut up and be over here in this corner for a while. and it's never a solo effort. That people also fail to see that they think that I'm just gonna be a hero. I'm going to be the star.
By the way, September the 15th, 16th, and 17th, you got to hold the bag for a minute.
Okay, I'll put it in my note. Because I couldn't even tell you what I'm doing tomorrow.
I understand.
But that's just it. You know, you don't know what's going to happen every time you wake up and get into whatever it is that you're going to get into. Some days are going to be very monotonous and very simple and civil. And then a lot, there's peppered with these days where you go, holy Jesus.
Hmm.
who let this animal in here?
Mm-hmm. And then there's some days that are breakthroughs and amazing, and it's that, okay, this is why. And then it gets you through the other times too.
Those are rare, but they're good.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Because most of the time when I walk in here, I feel like I'm about to walk into a caged room with like a rabid raccoon.
What?
Because you don't know. Foaming at the mouth. Play my shit.
I come in here. I shut that door, man. This is the safe. This is where.
Oh, it feels safe down here.
It is. But this
until the phone rings or the email comes or the text message comes or the private messenger comes with, hey, I got a thing.
No, it's not that bad.
You should see some of the private messages I get.
Well, that's your fault.
My fault? No. No.
Unless half of them are like from me or something.
No, you're fine. I mean, I recognize yours, but a lot of them may come in and say, like, oh, really?
No.
No.
It is what it is.
It is. And it's and look, as much as it sounds like we're bad-mouthing this, we wouldn't do anything else.
Wouldn't try it for the world.
Hell no. No, this is an experience. I'm kind of tired of this part of the experience, but
I'm like, okay. I've seen this part of the wall now.
Can I move over here now? Okay, floor's lava. Okay. I'm going to dance on the chairs now.
All kidding aside, we're getting ground, man, and we're doing a lot of very cool things right now.
Yeah, there's part of the dream that was Radio Memphis and its creation involved a rather elaborate set of tools in the toolbox, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we have assembled, I would say, probably about 97% of that.
We have.
If not more. And now we're getting to do things like stuff like this. And we got pre-recorded shows, which we thought we'd never really get into. But to make the balance between broadcast, live radio, and on-demand radio, we had to find middle ground.
We did.
And the caveat was we would never voice track.
Right,
and that will never happen.
No, and let's face it. I mean, we kind of stumbled into that by sheer fact of also acquiring a recording studio. So
it was out of necessity, really.
Yeah, really. Okay, let's be honest.
So you compromise.
Yeah, and that's what we came up with.
But I will never have like you voice track a metal show.
Mm-mm.
That would be dumb.
Mm-mm.
You know, and when there's a show that's recorded, that's pre-recorded,
mm-hmm.
that's going on the air.
Mm-hmm.
We will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You will know that it is a pre-recorded program, and y'all sit down and shut up and listen to the programming.
But all the stuff that's coming around, man, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff that's coming.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff.
I know our initial approach was, we'll just yak all this out at one time, and then you get into the first one and go, that's not happening.
We're not doing
that.
No,
not going
to
happen.
Okay, we're going to stagger it.
I got monsters running through my head every 5 minutes.
Monsters has been a fantastic addition. You know,
it has been. It's
and
wonderful.
We couldn't have been more happier. You know, with the relationship that we've developed with with the executive producers and stuff of that outfit, and everybody,
yeah, they're amusing.
They are, and you know,
and the hosts of the show are amused by them.
Absolutely, you know, everybody is. It's turned out to be quite an impact and quite fantastic.
It's a special show.
It is.
It's very special, and to be sitting on the production end of that.
Mm.
There's not a microphone in front of me when we do this, and I refuse to say anything.
Thank God.
And I know, because
you're,
they wouldn't like what I have to say.
No, and the show would not be what it is.
It's like Bigfoot, please.
Stop it.
I know, I'm not going to go any further than
that.
Okay,
don't.
But you know, like the host will often ask me a question about, okay, so we're doing a thing on this date. Is that, and I'll just nod. Yeah, we're doing that. You know, I won't say anything. Yeah. My name's on it, but that's it.
Mm.
We just let it go. Now, on top of that, now that that show is running, we've got another show that is in development now. It's about to go into pre-production as of this date, which is early August, that involves somebody that is really high up in the television industry.
Yep.
Specifically in animation, and a person that he is going to co-host with that is really big into the cosplay scene,
mm-hmm.
in the comic book and science fiction world, which is going to be really, that's going to be a fun show.
It will be.
We've also got along the way, we got the Radio Memphis Underground, mm-hmm. and then also in development is it's almost done, really. The concert series,
yes,
which we're looking forward to being able to put on. These are all pre-recorded shows that are going to run late at night, and it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But these goddamn monsters are wearing me out, man.
What? It's good stuff.
I feel like Bugs Bunny in that one episode where the mad scientist has the big red thing with the heart shaped head, you know, with the hair.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that Bugs Bunny.
You know what kills me about you, though, is that, in fact, the last time I sat down with you, you know, to do a podcast, and we were arguing about whether or not Bigfoot was a real thing, we were talking about Stargates and everything else,
right,
and
right.
You were giving me the whole, you know, shenanigans about, you know, why you thought it was kind of whatever. You know, since you've really kind of been involved in stuff, it's so funny, as much as you like to sit there and talk about monsters and how, you know, some of it is like whatever, I love the fact that you tell me these stories, and you give me all this background.
I know, because I read a lot of it.
And you're all this.
I'll sit there in the morning show, and I'm trying to find some prep, and it's a Bigfoot story that shows up on my thing, and I'm going, what the hell? And I'll read through it, and I go, oh, it's a kid in a gorilla suit. And you got a sheriff's officer who's saying, don't shoot the kid in the gorilla suit. And you go, that's a Bigfoot.
See?
Or is it?
See?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah. And aliens showing up. I'm, well, the alien thing. No, look, I'm on board.
Okay. Oh, I know you're on board.
I'm on board with the aliens because Joel is one.
Joel, yes.
I think Joel, if he's not an alien, straight up.
Although I learned something about Joel.
What did you learn?
Last night's episode for The Existence of Strange Things at the very end.
With Ronald Murphy, yes.
With Ronald Murphy, which was a fantastic episode.
It was a good show,
And of course, by the time you guys
hear it. It's in the on-demand right now.
If you guys hear this podcast, yeah, go check that out. Because he covered so much ground with so many different things. But at the very end of that, you know, the co-hosts, they get to sit down and they were kind of talking to each other. And they had a moment that they normally don't get.
Right.
And so they were asking each other their strange thing. Mm. I did not know. Joel's strange thing was Thunderbirds.
Yes.
I had no idea. None.
Yeah. He won't shut up about it, man. He's like, you know, they're all around Memphis.
Because I swear to God, we thought it was going to be Bigfoot.
No, he's a big fan of the Bigfoot.
Of course he is, you know.
But the Thunderbird thing is the one that really gets him going. And he goes, you know, they're all up and down the Mississippi River. They're all around here. And I'm like, oh, dude, please. Are you seeing those in the Mexican restaurants? That's the picture of the Mayan and the shield and the gigantic bird. And he goes, yeah, that's it. That's the Thunderbird. That Thunderbird's bringing tacos. This Thunderbird you're thinking of is going to eat you. No. Oh, yeah. He has a coffee cup, Joel does, with a Thunderbird on it.
It didn't even dawn on me.
He fills it full of beer, but yeah, it's a coffee.
Whatever, but yeah. I mean, still, I had no
idea. It's a white cup with this big orange bird on it, and it's, what the hell is that? Oh, it's a Thunderbird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's some of the programming and stuff we're talking about.
Oh, it's fun. Listen to the show.
No, you've got to, yeah. It's actually quite fantastic.
I just sit a lot of times, just shake my head, going, yeah. Aliens, yeah.
And you start thinking about those things.
We've yet to do my favorite topic as of the recording of this, which is Men in Black. I'm waiting for that to come.
Oh.
That's one of my favorite topics because it is that dabbles into not just the alien thing, but the government.
The whole conspiracy theory.
Yeah, the conspiracy. And I'm not really big into conspiracy theories. In fact, there are a couple of conspiracy theories that I find absolutely insulting.
Yeah.
You know, and I won't get into those here because my opinion doesn't matter on that. But
of course.
But when it comes to Men in Black, then you're talking about that whole, well, yeah, the Air Force has always known about aliens since 1947. And you know, there's guys that, you know, you got Will Smith and them walking around with a little flashy thingy and they're going to wipe your head. That shit's real.
Do you think it is?
Probably not, but, you know.
Why not?
There's a possibility that it could be.
It could be.
And us talking about it, nobody's really raised two hairs about shutting us down.
Yet.
That's going to be the executive producers. That's going to be all on them.
Yes.
Rick, why did the show, why did you not share? I don't know. Government conspiracy. Mm, they don't like it.
Apparently we touched a nerve.
Take that up with Joel and Steven.
Right.
So yeah, by all means, Joel Martin, Steven Gunther, every Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Time, all the way to 1 a.m. Following that is an encore presentation of a show that usually runs like a couple of weeks back, so in case you missed it. And if you really want to stay on top of it, find The Existence of Strange Things on Facebook. Like the page. You'll get stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can download episodes on the Radio Memphis On Demand.
Yep.
And stay up to tune that way. So things are looking good. We're really happy
with
that show.
Absolutely, man. Of course, you know, with On Demand, along with everything else, you know, all the interviews and stuff and the bands that you've got coming in. And,
oh, yeah. The Road Crew Radio thing that you're doing. That's another thing I forgot to mention. My apologies. But that's a hell of a thing you got going.
Thank you.
That's huge.
It got huge very quickly.
You came to me with it, it seems like an hour ago. And now there's like, you got all these carnies hanging around going, hey, we did the Moody Blues.
Well, you know.
But it is really cool. And I've heard of quite a few of these things that you've done. And it's impressive.
Well, you know, what's really funny is that.
They talk really dirty.
No, they don't.
The one that I heard, he did.
Well, one or two, maybe.
What?
Well, I mean, so whatever.
The whole thing was, fuck this.
That was one. Look.
Well, it's understandable.
And
if I had to put up with Billy Idol's bullshit all the time, I'd be cussing too.
We'll see. There it is.
Yeah, I got you.
No, and it was actually kind of a beautiful thing, you know, when I got, I'd gotten set up with Ken Barr to do his interview. Is what started it. And
now,
you know,
Ken is, now you talk about Ken Barr Films because it's brought to us by Ken Barr Films.
It is brought to us by Ken Barr Films. Ken Barr is he's a film director. He's also an author, and he was one of the ones that wrote he was one of the first ones to write a book about being on the Road Crew, and it's a book called We Are the Road Crew.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was quite some time back, and you know, he pretty much goes through a lot of his things that he's in groups and stuff that he's worked with, and a lot of the meat of it was based around the Alice Cooper camp, you know, and the Alive.
Old Vince.
Yeah,
Vince Fournier. Yeah.
But you know, along with that, though, there were other stories with, you know, some incredible bands, incredible groups, you know, and organizations that, you know, that he was a part of and that was able to, you know, able to kind of work with. And when we decided we were going to do the interview, you know how I am. If I get an opportunity to, I always like to get on the phone with somebody. I'm getting ready to do a phone interview.
You do
interview.
A pre-interview, yeah.
Yeah, and we get to know each other. Well, hell, we didn't get off the phone with each other like 2 weeks beforehand. We were like all the time, just back and forth. And you know how much I am about industry. And you know how much I am about, you know, trying to get the backstories on stuff. And so the day that we did our interview, we had already, you know, between he and I, we had already decided that I was going to start jumping into the heads of a lot of the core people that were around him during the Alice Cooper days for him. And the reason why that was so important was because that camp, you know, was so good about the way they treated their employees, treated the organization, and the fact that they ultimately ran like a well-oiled machine in that how they were going to put out a show and how they were going to put out an event. And they were doing a lot of things that during that time period, during that time, that other groups and other organizations were not doing. And so
familiar.
Yeah, right. So I started getting introduced to some of the other, you know, so the, you know, other cats and, you know, that are in this one group. And this thing wound up just mushrooming. It was like an inner explosion because
there's stage rats that are finally seeing some light.
Well, there's that, but then there's also some of these guys, they wound up going on to do some pretty really incredible things with their lives and with their careers, you know, including being responsible for major, you know, music shows, you know, major, you know, presentations, you know, major concert series, you know, things for the Madison Square Garden, you know, you're talking, you know, huge events. We got one that was responsible for doing a lot of the branding and a lot of the presentations for a lot of the brands, you know, like for Xbox, you know, Infinity, cars, and all those crazy things. And it was like, and all of these guys, you know, we're talking about, they started as, you know, tour managers, road crew, and everything else, and they went up the ladder in the industry into production
development and management.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Lighting and everything,
engineering
else.
And everything that goes with it.
And it was like, hey, so I got this friend, you know, you want to talk to him? Yeah. And so, you know, ultimately we decided, you know, it was going to be something that was going to be called the Road Crew Radio Series, and it started out with me doing, you know, these interviews, you know, so, you know, with you know, people across the board. And a couple weeks ago, we started the road tip, the weekly road tip that actually
there's a couple of them that have been released already. Yeah.
Yes. Happens every Monday night during Memphis Metal Mondays, and you know, for a few minutes, you know,
This episode runs, will probably be three or four up that are.
One of the guys will call in and stuff, and it's, you know, basically a road tip, whether it's something for the road, whether it's something that you may happen to need,
to load in,
you know, need in the state, you know, as far as on stage, or whether something you want to do in the studio, and that's fun because we kind of, you know, we do this little touchback, and
right,
I started stepping it, you know, and a lot of, and I've been I've I've been very secretive and I have not really unleashed it. And I started somewhat to do it today. Today, while we're doing this podcast, earlier I was on the show for Radio Memphis Around the World, yeah. And I got to sit down and I got to talk to Robert Scoville, the engineer, who is in front of the house for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for the past 25 years. He's done stuff with Rush. He's done stuff with Prince. You know, he's done stuff with Matchbox 20. He started out in that, or actually, or a couple.
Shit, Matchbox 20 was here last night. Was he here?
No. He's doing this stuff for Tom Petty right now.
Oh, he's with Petty.
Yeah. Right. But he also one of his first gigs was also in the Alice Cooper camp.
Ah.
Okay. This is also the gentleman who is the senior marketing specialist for Avid.
Avid, yes. Pro Tools.
And all that. And he's the one that's pretty
Sony, much, yes.
And he does all of the stuff for the live recordings and consoles, and he's got some products and stuff that he's helping, consult on and roll out. Talk with him, today. And so and when we were talking, because this I've been talking to a lot of different folks and this keeps coming, and so we knew that there was going to be a need at some point to do an opportunity where there'll be some round tables, stories, swapping stories and stuff, and these guys are like, oh my god, this is something that needs to happen, because and it keeps coming up, the deal, remember, Roadies. HBO thing, whatever.
Yeah, the show Roadies. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was only good for one season.
They
made
him look like carnies instead of Roadies.
And it was
insulting.
It was insulting too.
Because I've met these guys. Dealings in rock and roll and working these shows and seeing these guys. These are the hardest working guys out there.
Absolutely. And and they wind up becoming
and they get a little cranky.
They should because look what they have to deal with. But they wind up doing. Yeah, they wind up creating some pretty magical moments, and so we're able to talk to these guys. And I guess what's the romance for me about it is that the majority of the guys that I'm getting to talk to were the pioneers of whatever it was they were doing at that time, and they tell stories about artists that we now know as icons, but at the time that they were working with them were just breaking out, or their star was just shooting, or things like that. And so we do have a third tier of the Radio Memphis Road Crew series that's coming. It'll be officially announced at some point. You just have to pay attention to the Radio Memphis pages.
Yeah, you're kind of dribbling that one out, which is fine. You got a bunch of stuff that's happening that's online now, mm-hmm. in the Radio Memphis On Demand, RMOD, mm-hmm. And look for Road Crew Radio, mm-hmm. and you can catch up on this stuff. And it's not that you're missing anything if you haven't. I mean, it's not a sequential thing here. Mm-hmm. Just they're individuals that are telling their story.
Yeah. I call them Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Alert. When the interviews and stuff, because it could happen at any time.
Sure.
And of course the road tip happens every Monday night. And then the next thing that's going to be happening is going to be something that's going to be very scheduled once a month, and it's going to be a live show that's going to be
with those cats, yeah, mm-hmm,
with a lot of different people. So this officially is one of the official drops that I've made.
The studio's going to smell like patchouli and B.O.
It is not. It is not. Half of them are just they're going to be in other states and places. Stop it. I mean, unless they just are near board and they're not on tour and they want to just...
They want to come here. They're more
than
welcome
to. Of course they will,
Oh, they'll dig this place.
Oh, of course they will. This will remind them of when they got started.
You need some like drapes, and you need some really funky lighting over here. And I can see it now. Yeah. Oh, that board is completely unsuitable for you guys.
Yeah, no.
You need a 500-channel Neve console.
A wrecking crew will come in.
Yeah, a wrecking crew
will
come in.
Course,
yeah, oh,
of
yeah.
course.
We'll come in one day and be like, what the hell happened here?
But yeah, and to be quite honest, we started all this 6 weeks ago.
I know, right? It just falls together.
It was funny because I remember we were all in the middle of all this stuff and all this production and stuff that you were doing, and it was like, okay, look, I'm just going to do this, okay? And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm like, okay, hey, I need you for when I have to schedule time I had to schedule time with my own producer, okay? You're my producer.
I was busy.
You're my producer.
I'm busy.
You're my producer.
I hold myself accountable to the executive producers of the existence of Strange Things right now.
You're my producer.
But you had to call them and say, look, I need Rick for a couple of bits, and I think they copped an attitude about it.
No, they did not. They did not. No.
One of them did.
They did.
Because I heard about it. The hell? This is the only show that matters. Shut up. It's the only thing I do. You know, get you and your Bigfoot smelling ass out of here. I got other stuff to do.
You stop.
It all points back to some cool stuff that's happening.
It is.
Find it all at radio-memphis.com.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
As you walk out the sliding glass doors, there's a wedding picture of the guy. Picture. I sound like I've been here. Picture. There's a wedding picture of Mr. Stepherson and his wife from taking back in the back in the 60s when they got married. It was the guy that started the place. And it's hasn't changed at all. And it has that I would say small town, but it has that very simplistic feel to it. It's a good old-fashioned grocery store. I was there looking for something in particular in their beer aisle, which at the time on the rack, they were sold out. And I was talking to the manager who happened to be near the cage, and I said, "Hey, Alan, you know, what's the story here? I'm looking for this kind of thing." And he goes, "Well, hey, come with me." So he and I go back to where the people don't go,
which was cool. For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or tune in. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Okay, with all of that, how about a tune?
All right, what you got?
We were talking about this earlier, and it's high time we get this act on. We have been privy to learning about an act that came to Memphis from a far-flung land, Japan.
Nice.
This young lady, Kazuha Oda, and I've already mispronounced it.
Okay.
Because they came here. She did, mm-hmm. with her band. Well, with her guitarist, Hideki. Hideki I can handle. They are like off the boat Japanese, right?
Okay.
Very sweet people. Right. Very talented people. Very polite, as the Japanese often are. They're like the Canadians of the Pacific.
Of course.
I forgot the whole bow thing. You shake their hand and stuff. Anyway, Kazha is the name of the act. It's K-A-Z-H-A. And you have to put the accent on the first syllable.
Right.
Kazha. Her name is Kazuha. And the name is because they wanted to name the band, because it's her outfit. They named it her by taking the U out of it, which is kind of to make it a little easier to pronounce.
Right.
So it's Kazha is the name of the band. And they're a rock act. Kind of heavy rock.
Yes.
Not metal, but heavy rock.
Sure.
Very melodic. Very cool. The girl sings like an angel. And she came down here. She's tiny, tiny. She gave me a hug, and I felt like I could feel my own ribs. She's lovely, very sweet, very very charismatic. The interview that we did with her is also in the Radio Memphis On Demand. You can find it there. We talked about the differences between Japanese culture and rock and roll and the American.
Nice. Thing,
and why they came to Memphis.
And they did. They purposely came here.
Exactly. They purposely came here. And she said, "Okay, we have this new record that we made." Now, they've got like 6 records out,
mm-hmm.
under different names and strains of the band. But the current one, this is the one that you want, is called Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And Evolution was done in northern Georgia.
Oh, nice.
While they were on the road.
Okay.
Well, they fell in love with this room that we're sitting in right now here in Studio C. And she's like, "Oh, we want to make a new record here."
There we go.
I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I think we can make that happen."
Yeah.
Now, Hideki is a hell of a guitar player. And in that on-demand thing, he plays the weed guitar.
Oh my goodness.
And he fell in love with it.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. Now, he doesn't speak English very well, but he reads and writes it, you know, very, 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 very fluently. They're talented. They're tremendous, tremendous artists. And I thought maybe we would play one of their songs here from the Evolution record.
Okay.
And the song that I currently kind of dig from them, we have 2 of them. One's called Frozen, and then we have this one called Break Into Pieces.
Cool.
So let's play that one.
All right, let's hear it.
Here you go. This is Kazha, Break Into Pieces here from Radioland.
I'm close to breaking into pieces. I'm so alive with all the hatred filled in my mind. Just so you know, I'll break all your silence. This rage in my life, I won't let it go. I may pretend that, don't counsel me now. You don't wanna have a
lose you. I just can't take it. I'm so afraid to hear a voice inside of my head. I hope you know, breaking my silence, this race in my life, I won't let it go. Don't you tell me to depend on you now. It's only when you want me to be there. I'm so tired of wasting my time. I'm close to breaking, breaking into pieces. I hate to be here when you're. Breaking into pieces. I'm so annoyed with all the waste you brought to my life. Just so you know, I'll break all your silence. This rage in my life, I won't let it go.
So there it is, Casa.
Nice.
Yes, isn't it cool?
I like that.
Yeah, I think we need to. The album is sitting on my desk.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll go through it, and I think there's some stuff that you're going to want in the it's a crossover thing because it's mainstream rock, it's metal. There's a little metal in it.
Oh, I'm going to have to take one or two. I know.
And there's some around the world stuff in there because there's some Japanese influence stuff, but they don't sing in Japanese.
Isn't that funny?
And I asked her about that, and she said, well, the reason why is that the rock and roll themes that occur in America don't translate very well into Japanese.
Ah.
And vice versa. Songs that she's written in Japanese don't translate into American sensibilities.
See?
It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. Well, good deal.
So, yeah, you'll be hearing a lot more of these kids, and I think we'll be having them around here some more. Hideki is one of those cats that... he's very shy, very quiet. He's a handsome fella.
Yeah.
You'd love him. But when he plays, it's that whole language thing goes away.
Wow.
Because music is an international language.
It is.
And they are true examples of that. So
well.
I highly recommend the album called Evolution. Go get it. Go find it anywhere where records are sold. K-A-Z-H-A is the name of the band, Kaza. Mm-hmm. And find them on Facebook, on Twitter, all your social media. And when you write to them, they will write back.
Perfect.
It might be in Japanese.
But hey.
You know, hey, remember the vapors?
Yes.
I think I'm turning Japanese. I think. You know what that song was about, don't you?
No.
Really? You don't know what that's about? You need to go listen to the lyrics and pay close attention.
I'm not going to now.
All right, I'll tell you. It's about the face you make when you're masturbating.
Yeah, see, okay, that's why I didn't want to know.
Well, you're like Asian and stuff. I thought maybe that.
Well, yeah. And it was because every time somebody would sit there and they would sing that song because they were making fun of me, and I'm not even Japanese.
Oh no, you're not. No. You're actually from Mexico.
Yeah, they would sit there and they'd slant their eyes.
Didn't know what they were singing about. See?
Well, I didn't find out anything further than that because this guy. See, you've opened up a wound from childhood. Thank you.
So sorry. Oh, me so sorry.
Shut up.
Only you could get away with that. But no, seriously, the song the song is about masturbation. It's like She-Bop from Cyndi Lauper.
No, I just, okay. Ruining it for me.
All right, kids, that's it for us. Yeah, whatever. Y'all take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, quit shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.